These were some articles I found, I believe, by the man named Don Green. And I just thought they were so good and just to the point about prayer and fasting. So this isn't going to be an hour message or anything, so relax. I thought they were so good because you hear oftentimes people talking about fasting. And maybe you're here today and you say, man, I've never fasted. I guess I'm not as spiritual as people who fast. And well, it may not be quite so right saying that. And I just thought this was a real neat teaching. And I'm just going to try to, it's really concise. And I'm going to just try to get right to the point. And you know, there's only one commanded fast in all of the Bible from God in Leviticus, the Day of Atonement. All other fasts were voluntary. Now, you had some of God's servants calling for fast, but only the Day of Atonement is where they were required by God to fast. And fasting is simply the voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. So why did Old Testament saints fast? Here's what this man said. I think he's right on the money. Voluntary fasting in the Old Testament expressed a mournful, urgent seeking of God in distressing circumstances. That makes sense, doesn't it? It kind of goes along with mourning. David fasted and wept when his child was dying, did he not? Urgent circumstance. The Jews fasted in the book of Esther when Haman was trying to destroy them. So they were under stressful burdens of the heart and just life-threatening situations. Other times, as you go through the Old Testament in fasting and prayer, when they faced extreme circumstances of impending death, when they faced imminent judgment from God. Remember in Nineveh, the king called for a fast. In Nineveh, Jonah pronounced judgment upon them. They fasted when they were greatly distressed and conscious of their utter helplessness. So they suspended their normal eating habits for an urgent, extraordinary seeking of God who alone could deliver them. So you see this fasting and seeking God going together. And I like this here, how this was put. Their fasting naturally flowed from profound spiritual urgency. Now, we might have a problem if we never experience profound spiritual urgency. That may be a hard issue you need to take to God. Boy, I'm never burdened. I'm not really brokenhearted about anybody. That might be something to take to God. But it flowed from an urgency of spiritual needs for people. Now, get this. It was not a product of routine spiritual rituals. I fast every Thursday. I fast every Friday from 7 to 5. It wasn't in the Bible a routine spiritual ritual other than the Day of Atonement, which was once a year. It expressed deep dependence on God in times of uncommon anguish. It was an outward expression of an inward reality of a shattered heart. Now, this week, we are calling, maybe some of you may want to fast this week. We're not going to make you fast. We're going to see that here in just a second. But maybe it's something you've never done before, where you spend some time not eating but praying to express your spiritual urgency for some of these six pages of requests in your life. How about the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus taught about fasting on the Sermon on the Mount. It was primarily designed in that sermon to guard and teach against hypocrisy. Listen to what Jesus says. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. They fasted and looked gloomy so people could say, oh, aren't you spiritual? Wow, you fast? Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Why? That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus teaches, you go out of your way so nobody knows you're fasting. You go out of your way to conceal the acts of righteousness you do. Why? Because our pride wants to be praised, right? I do this, I do this, I do this. Jesus says, you go out of your way. Because men cannot praise you for what they cannot see, right? And when the Pharisees fasted, it only fed their pride. Because they wanted everybody to know, right? Gloomy faces. Boy, brother so-and-so must be fasting today because he's really weak and really looking bad and looking, you know, really tired. How's it going, brother Demetrius? Oh, I'm really weak today because I'm fasting for God. Jesus says, don't do that. Fasting in the New Testament. You know, there are websites you can turn to or click to, and they'll tell you how to fast. They'll tell you what you can eat. They'll tell you what ingredients can go in some food so you can eat them during your fast. They'll tell you what's acceptable. People can figure out how to fast and still make delicious, good foods. It's unbelievable. To me, I just don't get that, to be honest with you. One church did a fast a few months ago, and I saw people put it on Facebook. Man, I learned how to make this with this, and it tastes just like it did before, but we're fasting. Now, they can do what they want. I don't really care what they do as a church, but me, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Kind of, I think, broke the spirit of the New Testament fast. The New Testament leaves the detail of fasting up to your discretion. Listen, if you don't want to fast this week, don't. If you're burdened in your heart for these people who are on their way to hell, then maybe skip a meal and pray for them to show God your burdened heart. But that doesn't mean God's going to answer prayer now because you didn't eat something. We'll see that in just a second. And it's interesting that the New Testament emphasizes prayer way over fasting. It almost de-emphasizes fasting in that way. It says pray this way, but it never says fast this way. It doesn't address the frequency. It doesn't address the diet. It doesn't address whether you can drink liquids when you're fasting from foods. It seems that Jesus put much more emphasis on talking to him and praying to him, lifting holy hands to him, praying as Elijah, as we'll see in 2 weeks from the book of James. So if you choose to fast, you have great liberty to do whatever you want to do. The nature of your fasting. If you want to spend more time praying this week and you decide you're going to fast lunch, then just fast lunch. You want to fast for 24 hours, you do that. You don't want to fast, don't fast. There are no commands for the when and the how-tos. It is a natural flowing from the Spirit of God from a burdened heart. Let me ask you this. When you're really burdened, do you feel like eating? Sometimes it's just kind of a natural, is it? When you're just, crushed and burdened. You don't even really feel like eating, do you? We ought to sense a desire to pray. So you have great liberty. And the New Testament warns against a preoccupation with food. Colossians says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come. But the substance, which we sang earlier, is Jesus Christ. And he talks about how Jesus took all those things away, and you don't have to submit to these regulations. Don't handle, don't touch, don't eat, don't taste. Those things all perish. So the New Testament kind of de-emphasizes that. 1 Corinthians 8:8 says, food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat and no better off if we do. So what about fasting then? Fasting today, our last point. Listen to what Matthew 9:15 says. Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, Jesus with them? The days will come when Jesus, the bridegroom, is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Matthew 6 says, when you fast. So it's as if Jesus assumes you will fast. There will be broken times in your heart and burdened times in your heart when you will put off eating to go and spend more time consecrated to God. John Broadus said this, fasting is right only when your condition makes it natural. In a time of joy, fasting would be unnatural and could not express a genuine feeling. But persons who are in great distress and naturally inclined to abstain from eating. Fasting can deepen these spiritual impulses toward worship and devout meditation. In fact, James says this, we'll see this, James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. So James seems to understand that. If you're joyful and there's just awesome blessing from God, it wouldn't seem right to just deprive yourself. You rejoice in God's blessing. But if there's a burden and a brokenness and you're concerned for somebody, it might be a time to spend less time eating and more time praying. A.W. Pink said this, private fasting must issue from an urge within and not because it is imposed from without. So we are not going to instruct you, everybody Monday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. fast. We're not going to do that. We're never going to do that. I don't think that's the way the Scriptures teach. We're just not going to do that. We're not going to try to make people feel guilty because they don't fast. We're just not going to do that. But maybe skipping a meal or two would help you to express your heart burden to God. And most of us know when our heart is burdened. And many times when we're in that state of anguish, food means nothing anyway. But getting alone with God means everything. And trials tend to sometimes make us lose sight of spiritual realities. Sometimes fasting and mourning and praying can bring us back to where we ought to be, for where Christ wants us to be. And fasting is not necessarily a time to focus on the immediate problem, God fix this. But it's a time to focus on who? As many of you said tonight, the God who's in control of your burden. Here are some simple things that maybe you could do as you pray and fast if you choose to do so. Meditate on the reality of God's sovereign control of your situations you're burdened about. Focus your attention on the greatness of your salvation. What a God we have. Remember that Christ has come, died, and rose from the grave, paid for our sins, that we're forgiven people. Focus that Christ is in heaven and He is interceding. He is praying to the Father right now for your burden and your need. Remember, one day you're going to see Him face to face. Remember, nothing can separate you from God's love. See the difference from just, and it's not that you can't pray for that burden, but there's a difference in just sitting there and constantly thinking about your burden and never thinking about the God of that burden. The God who loved you and died for you, who's faithful and sovereign and in control, and He knows, He hears, and He's going to make it right. So spend your time focusing on God. And remember, fasting does not transform you. The Scriptures and the Holy Spirit transform you. That's big, I think. And lastly, let me just read this. Don't look for external fasting to do for you what God has appointed the Scriptures to do. And I think when you pray, you ought to have this book real close. Real close. Sometimes I'll be praying and I'll need to turn to a verse and remind myself that God does love me. And that God does forgive me. And I got to go to the Psalms sometimes and remember that I got a big God. Because sometimes when I'm praying, I got some pretty puny prayers. How about you? And prayer is not just gimme, 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 gimme. Prayer is, God, who are you? This is who you are. Just pray through a psalm. Read through a psalm. Focus on God. The Scriptures do that. Fasting is not designed to put righteous desires into you. It's meant to be a means to express urgent desires that already exist. Fasting is an effect of a spiritual urgency, not the cause of it. And I want to encourage you this week, and we could probably spend 4 weeks on a study on this, but I want to encourage you this week, and that's why we had you fill out these things that I put on a list, so that you can spend this time this week taking these names to Jesus on the throne. So you can spend time praying for your needs. Spend time in meditation and prayer in the Word and thinking about, who is the God of these people? Who is the God I'm praying to? How is He to receive glory in this? And open up the Scriptures and pray through those, and take some of these people you never met before and say, God, move in their lives. Because these are requests that people turned in who are burdens of your fellow believers' lives. And you may not know Dottie and Kenny's neighbor, but did you see the burden in their eyes and in their heart when they shared that? And so we can share in that burden this week. So whether you fast or not, that's up to you. That's totally between you and God. And you're not less spiritual if you do. You're not less spiritual if you don't. But I want to encourage you that maybe there is a great burden in your heart. Burden for your son, burden for your daughter, burden for a situation. And maybe it's something that you want to try this week. Skip a meal. Instead of eating, you're going to pray. You say, well, Pastor Tim, it's going to take me a while to go through this whole list. Yep. Hey, do it like you want. In the morning, pray for salvation. In the noon, pray for health. Just do it whatever you want. But pray and pray and pray.